to glow in the dark.
Glow in the dark. Glow in the dark. Glow in the dark. Glow in the dark.
This is the science fiction podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Our music is by Juan Carlos Quatordio. You get audio science fiction every week on Glow in the Dark Radio, written and read by me. I've got 6 novels out, a bunch of short stories, and some comic books. You can find out about all my stuff at glowinthedarkradio.com or mikeluoma.com. That's MikeLuoma. That's how you find me on Facebook and Twitter, too, after their.com/MikeLuoma. And you can find our Glow in the Dark Radio Facebook page at facebook.com/glowinthedarkradio. Sign up for my mailing list at any of those places. Send out a newsletter about once a month. I'm thinking I need to do one soon, so maybe if I can, I'll get it in later on today. We'll see what happens. Again, you can go to glowinthedarkradio.com or mikeluoma.com or facebook.com/glowinthedarkradio. Fill out the little form and sign up for the email newsletter. We're beginning at the start of the Alibi Jones saga, as this week we get into the first chapter, the preface and the first chapter, of Alibi Jones, the novel. So it's a perfect place to start listening, and I don't really need to do much setup. Except I will mention that Alibi Jones is the son of B.C., Bernard Campion, the Vatican assassin. But you don't need to have listened to any of those to get into this one. It does take place in the same universe, but a couple decades later. So even that's not all that important. It's just kind of cool. If you did read the first trilogy, you'll enjoy some of the characters who reappear and some of the settings that we get into. And that's what I've got for you today, the preface and chapter 1 of Alibi Jones. Now, even if you've listened to this book before, you haven't heard it quite this way, because I have gone back in and re-edited the chapters, polishing it up for a run on Audible. So what you're about to hear is the first airing of these newly edited versions of the chapters. So even if you've heard Alibi Jones before, you haven't heard it quite like this. And in case you're checking us out for the first time, I don't want to lose anybody with a lot of chatter. So, I'm not even going to get into any news. We're going to dive right into the preface and chapter 1 of Alibi Jones on Glow in the Dark Radio. This is Alibi Jones on Glow in the Dark Radio.
Prologue. My name is Alibi Jones. Do I really have to do this on Anita? Really? Posterity? What? All right. Only because it's your birthday. Shh, I'm doing it. Hello, my name is Alibi Jones. I'm recording this for my Aunt Anita's birthday. All about me and what I'm up to. Okay. Even though she won't tell me how old she is. Ouch! Hey, that's child abuse. Well, you tell me I'm very immature for 25. What? Oh, they could just edit this out. I don't want to start over. Oh, for Pete's sake. Hello. My name is Alibi Jones. Jones isn't really my original last name, but it's what I've been calling myself for the last 10 years. I didn't want to use either my father or my mother's name. My aunt Anita said I could choose my own last name, so I chose Jones. My aunt raised me when she wasn't busy running the universe. She used to be the head of the Solar Alliance. She was the prime representative of the SA, Anita Capituna. She's not really my aunt, but I've always called her that. She's been awesome, and I'm not just saying that because it's her birthday. She's been both mom and dad to me. My biological mom, Ruth Kim, is locked away in an institution. She's, what they call criminally insane? She snapped when I was about 3. My father's dead. He died when I was real young. My mom, murdered my father. That's kind of where the whole criminal part of her insanity came in. You could say I've got issues. Alibi really is my first name. Got that in my slightly Asian good looks from my mom. Aunt Anita tells me I got my restless nature and my uncanny knack for getting into trouble from my father. I never knew my father, Bernard Campion. Everybody called him BC. Yeah, he's that BC. The one who ended the war and brought the Alliance together to fight off the Eldred and the ancient enemy, Dolomei. Kind of weird to learn about the father you never knew in history class at school. Nah, you probably never heard about me in class. My father didn't even know I existed until the end. He met me the day he died. I kind of remember that day. You know how old memories are from when you're a kid? Stuff from when you're really young seems kind of dim. But something that traumatic kind of sticks with you. I remember being in a giant church. I remember her shooting. I remember him falling. Kind of fucked up. I mean, messed up. Sorry, Aunt Anita. That's ancient history now, almost 23 years ago. This is now. It's 2035. The world's a different place. The post-war baby boom helped us all move into space, as annoying as those kids are. I call them kids, huh? They're just a couple of years younger than me, but they act so entitled, you know what I mean? People went overboard with that whole golden children thing. Spoiled them all. Self-centered, arrogant. What? Sorry, Aunt Anita, they piss me off. Anyway, since the colonies are where the excitement is, that's where they've been going to find fame and fortune or something. Guess I'm just annoyed because I was there first. I don't get back to Earth very often. This is about as close as I get most of the time, Sirius Central. This is like home, where I grew up with my aunt. It's been a few years since I was on Earth. My actual home base now is usually my place on Cat's Eye, part of the old project complex on the colony. Actually, it's Aunt Anita's old place. It's a good base of operations for what I do. What do I do? Let's see, I do a lot of things. It's kind of hard to explain. I fly ships, fix things. I work mostly for the Solar Alliance Mediator Corps. We're affiliated with the Solar Alliance Interstellar Force, SAIF, except that we're negotiators, not fighters. We help negotiate trade agreements between human companies and alien races. Sometimes we help negotiate between different alien groups. I've done that a few times. I basically go wherever they tell me to go, try to listen to both sides even when they're completely alien. The boss says go, I go. It is kind of nice to have free run of Solar Alliance space in my cruiser. Well, sort of free. I do have to go on my assignments. But I do get to travel deeper into alien space than most people. I've met the Dakur, who kind of look like big cats. I help them negotiate with the Flays. They're the bony-looking aliens we met back during the war. Met them and the Domo back then. That vampire race that died out. Or almost died out. That reminds me. That's where I don't go. The dead worlds. That was the strangest thing to find out here. Remember when those aliens, the Eldred, all died at the end of the war? They died en masse on a lot of planets out here. Whole planetary populations turned into rotting piles of corpses. Pretty sick stuff. So there are all these worlds, the dead worlds. You don't want to land on them. Those vampire aliens, the Domo, taught us that. By their grim example. They tried to clean up and take over one of the old Eldred planets, and ended up getting sick. I don't know if they ever found out what it was, but it seemed to affect just the Domo. They were an adaptive, kind of parasitic race. You know, like vampires or cannibals or something. So they may have, ingested something bad? Destroyed most of their race. Which was sort of okay. They were kind of creepy anyway. Well, they were! You said so yourself, Aunt Anita. They sucked. Sorry. Anyway, their deaths kind of served as examples to everyone else. No one lands on the dead worlds now. You don't know what you might run into. The Eldred had old weapons that had been handed down over hundreds of thousands of years. They might have launched plagues and other stuff as they died. Weapons that originally belonged to the ancient enemy. Of course, that also makes those planets potential treasure troves of ancient tech, if you can find a planet that isn't poisoned. The Eldred called their old masters the ancient enemy. Dolomei was one of them. When he died at the end of the war, the Eldred all died, because the ancient enemy were finally gone. Somehow the Eldred's existence was tied into theirs, probably because the Eldred used to be the ancient enemy's servant race. I don't know, maybe I do know more about the history of the war because my father was involved. And because Aunt Anita talks about it all the time. What, you do? Oh, okay, not all the time, but still. Without the Eldred, things are a little crazy out there. They used to keep control over things. If they were around, I wouldn't have a job. No need for mediators when somebody's simply in charge, you know? Some aliens have gotten pushy. The Tekta are a good example of that. Ugly things, like trash cans with eye stalks and tentacles growing out of the top. They've been expanding their territories. The Mediator Corps has been trying to explain the concept of negotiation to the Tekta. So far, they just don't get it. I've heard of other aliens, too, like the mysterious Devrisium. They don't show themselves to anyone. You know, we're really just on the smallest edge of the space the Eldred used to occupy. And after I finish this recording, I'm heading back out there. Got another job to do. It's supposed to be an easy one this time. Of course, that's what Mbeke always says. I didn't think the Pope was allowed to lie like that. He's gonna see this, right? Well, that's kind of where things are with me right now, and, happy birthday, Aunt Anita! Let's hope it's another great year. That didn't sound too fake, did it? Good.
Chapter 1.
I'm Alibi Jones. You can't do this to me.
This is what the Tekta do with trespassers.
The six-limbed reptilian alien uses four of its powerful tentacles to lift and toss the thin 25-year-old dark-haired man into a dimly lit, stone-walled cell. The guard swings the heavy wooden cell door shut behind him with its two other tentacles.
Clang!
Alibi Jones is in trouble. After his last mediation assignment, he followed a group of aliens, reptilian Tekta, suspected of kidnapping humans. He stowed away on one of their merchant ships, traveled with them out to this desolate outpost of Tektakarn. Unfortunately, the Tekta Alibi was following discovered him stowing away. They beat him, and then turned him over to their authorities on Tektakarn. They are responsible for his current accommodations. Alibi throws himself at the cell door, shouting,
"Don't you know who I am? I told you! I'm Alibi Jones! My mother is the former president of the Solar Alliance!"
"You humans always think you're so special!"
the Tekta hisses back at him through the cell door. Alibi wants to throw himself at the door again, but holds back.
"No real point in that," he thinks.
He looks around the cell. Four stone walls, no windows, one door. He's not alone. A pile of fur lays breathing in one corner. A human man is passed out in another.
"Dinner time, cat man!"
the guard calls in through the closed cell door.
"Hey, at least I don't smell like a dead fish!"
Alibi shouts back, taunting the alien.
"No. You smell instead like sweaty, stinky meat."
A deep, purring, yet dangerous-sounding voice rumbles out. The pile of dappled brown and rusty gold fur unfolds into an upright feline shape. A lion on 2 feet emerges from its dark corner of the cell. Sharp, pointy teeth and the cat-like face of the speaker catch the light as it approaches Alibi. Alibi involuntarily draws back from his cellmate. He can sense fear and danger coming from the alien.
"A Dakor?"
Alibi draws himself up to face down the bipedal being, his new cellmate. He stands nearly tiptoe, straining for more than his 6 feet, as he stares down at the 5'8" man-cat. The alien stares back up at Alibi.
"I'm Alibi Jones," he says, introducing himself.
"You know, I heard you say that before. Just then,"
the Dakor says. The alien lets out a series of hisses. Alibi works out what the sounds are.
"Wait, are you laughing at me?"
Alibi asks defensively.
"Yes, I was laughing at what the Tekta said. You humans really do think you are very special,"
the catman tells him.
"What do you know about humans? What are you anyway? You're Dakor, right?"
The alien's greenish-yellow eyes widen.
"I am Dakor. You are observant. For a human."
The catman purrs his approval.
"I haven't run into that many of your race," Alibi admits.
"Yet you knew what I was. How?"
"I worked a trade deal with the Dakor last year, with the Flays."
The alien cocks its head, seems puzzled.
"I'm a commercial mediator," Alibi explains. "I help facilitate negotiations."
"Oh,"
the cat-like alien exclaims.
"You are that, Alibi."
"See?" Alibi smiles. "My reputation precedes me. Maybe I really am special?"
he says with some attitude, a touch of sarcasm in his voice.
Yes, I do know of you, the young and foolish mediator.
The alien's countenance noticeably darkens.
I think I may have to kill you.
Oh, shit.
Kill me? Why?
The Flays were very shrewd in the negotiations you mediated with the Dakur. We gave up more than we anticipated. My father was one of the negotiators. He became dishonored. We lost our family honor. He left us for the wandering. For destroying his honor, I should kill you.
Wait, it's not my fault. I was just the mediator, Alibi protests.
Right. The SAIF had assured us your relative youth would not be a concern. Yet your inexperience allowed my family to be disgraced.
The Dakur does not sound convinced and shakes its head in an almost human fashion. I made sure that was a good deal, Alibi insists.
A good deal for the Flays, yes, the Dakur says, and then pauses.
He looks back up at Alibi.
You are not convincing me that I should not kill you, he purrs. With the added stipulations the Flays attached.
They shouldn't have added anything, Alibi protests, trying to figure out what went wrong with his negotiations.
They claimed it was a condition, one that you negotiated, the Dakur says.
No, they lied to you, Alibi insists.
They lied, you say? How interesting. So, then, maybe I do not kill you. Yet,
the alien says, as its tension relaxes. All right. Hey, Alibi says.
Hey?
What's your name? You already know mine.
Kitraf Gondolralkaz.
God bless you, Alibi says.
What?
It's a joke. I was joking. Your name sounded like a sneeze. What was it again?
Kitraf Gondolralkaz.
Right. Can I call you Kit?
Sure.
Excellent. Hello, Kit. I'm Alibi.
You keep saying that.
The man on the floor groans.
That, Kit tells Alibi, is Piccolo. He stinks like sweaty meat and urine. He pissed himself at some point earlier. He was still drunk, last I checked.
Eh, the drunk on the floor says, as he turns over to look up at Alibi through one squinting eye.
Who are you?
Who are you? Alibi asks, answering the drunk's question with a question.
Piccolo!
He spits out. Then he burps. Alibi wrinkles his nose.
Ah, I can smell that. How much have you been drinking?
Not much,
he slurs. No? Alibi asks.
I'm a failure. I'm a failure,
the man mumbles.
I lost her. Lost her.
The drunk trails off. He rolls back over, curling up, facing away from Alibi.
Cheery guy.
He has lost his sister, Kit tells him.
Aw, man, Alibi says, suddenly feeling bad over hating the guy. How'd she die?
She did not die, Kit clarifies. She was taken. Piccolo says she was abducted by some Tekta. He's been following them, but lost their trail here at Tektakarn. He got drunk and tried to start a fight with some locals last night. They subdued him and brought him here.
This is still from last night? Impressive.
Disgusting.
Kit disagrees. So he thinks his sister was kidnapped by the Tekta? Alibi asks.
Do you not hear so well? Yes, this is what I said.
Huh, funny, Alibi says, almost to himself.
Did you say funny? Kit asks.
Yeah, I'm here because I've been following the trail of a friend of mine who disappeared. And the Tekta are my prime suspects, too.
If they are your suspects, why are you in their jail?
The Tekta don't like being followed, Alibi muses aloud. They're charging me with trespassing. I was following a trail, looking for my friend. She was kidnapped. At least I think she was. She disappeared from her home on Remelar. Some Tekta were implicated, so I followed them. When they found me tailing them, they grabbed me, beat me, and now I'm in here.
Ah, something occurs to the Catman.
You were not following them in an official capacity, then.
An official capacity? Alibi asks him, confused. Oh, you mean like safe?
Safe? Oh, you mean the Solar Alliance Interplanetary Force, yes.
Kit realizes.
You do not work for them,
he asks. Oh, no, Alibi clarifies. I'm no Alliance officer, far from it.
You worked with them for the negotiations, Kit says a little darkly.
I'm in the Mediation Corps, Alibi insists. We work with SAFE, but we're separate, different.
Too bad, Kit says, calming down. I'd imagine SAFE wouldn't let one of their own get eaten alive in a Tekta cell. Will anyone be coming for you?
Eaten? Alive? Alibi asks. He backs away from the lion-like alien and its sharp teeth. Kit lets out a quick burst of hisses, laughing at Alibi's reaction. You eat people? Alibi asks him.
Me? Personally? No. But some Dakor have eaten human beings, when starved and provoked into it. It is probably why you have been thrown in here with me.
Kit leans toward Alibi, baring his fangs and licking his lips.
I am rather hungry.
Great. Alibi inches further away from the feline, almost falls over the feet of the drunk on the floor.
Ha!
Kit lets out an almost human laugh.
I do not plan on eating you. I have not eaten him yet.
He nods at the drunk.
Have I?
Maybe you don't like pickled meat? Alibi offers. Kit hisses out more laughs.
Maybe I don't. Nor pissy meat either,
the Catman concedes. He looks Alibi directly in the eye.
You do not whet my appetites in any way, shape, or form either. Have no fear. I will not aid the Tekta in their prisoner disposal.
Alibi relaxes.
Eat me,
the drunk says out loud to no one in particular. Alibi and Kit laugh together.
So, Kit says to Alibi, you never answered me. Will anyone be missing you? Coming after you here?
The Tekta got my wand. You know, my wanderer, my comm device, Alibi says, explaining when Kit looks confused. I can't get in touch with anyone. They'll miss me, but they won't know where I am. Why?
I do not know about you, the Catman says. But I would like to get out of here.
Why did the Tekta lock you up? Alibi asks Kit.
A story for another time, Kit demurs.
Alibi decides not to press it. Fine. Speaking of stories, won't we get to plead our cases?
Plead your case? They threw you in here as food. You think the Tekta want to hear from Dakor food? Do you think they care what food has to say?
But I'm Alibi Jones.
You're food,
the drunk says, his back to Alibi.
Get used to it.
Do you suppose that's what happened to your sister then? Alibi asks the back of the drunk man. In a blur of motion, the drunk leaps up off the floor, whirls to face Alibi, and charges at him, hand outstretched and grabbing for Alibi's throat.
You don't talk about my sister!
The drunk screams at Alibi as he pins him to the wall, both hands around his throat. Alibi struggles. He chops in at the drunk's head with both hands. The man pulls one of his hands from Alibi's throat to swat at his chopping arms, giving Alibi a fighting chance.
Okay!
Alibi tries to get out past strangulation.
Sorry!
He strains out. The drunk goes slack. His hand drops from Alibi's throat. He backs away.
Sorry, man,
he mumbles.
I lost her. She can't be dead. I suck.
He falls back down to the floor in a sulking pile, head down. Alibi shakes off the attack.
Yeah, I need to get out of here.
Alibi admits to Kit. Got a plan?
I have been thinking of one. Next time they open the door, we jump the guard. You go high, I go low, Kit suggests.
He looks away. Alibi thinks the alien almost looks embarrassed.
It is all that I have come up with.
Good plan, Alibi says, his voice heavy with sarcasm. Kit looks back at him. Nearly a minute goes by in silence, as the two stare each other down.
What?
Alibi finally gives in.
I am waiting for your plan,
Kit tells him. He continues to look at Alibi.
Give me a second.
Another minute goes by in silence.
Tell you what, Alibi says. Next time the guard opens the door, we jump him. You go low, I go high.
Oh, Kit says. Much better plan than mine.
I've got another idea. Another part of the plan, Alibi adds. They think you're going to eat me, right? Here's what I'm thinking.
That was Chapter 1 and the prologue of Alibi Jones on Glow in the Dark Radio. Written and read by me, your host, Mike Luoma. The first chapter of the first Alibi Jones novel. You've come in at the beginning. We'll be picking things up there next week. If you're enjoying what you're hearing, you can actually get the book, the ebook or the paperback of Alibi Jones. It's available pretty much everywhere online. Or just go to glowinthedarkradio.com or mikeluoma.com to get all the details. Look me up on Facebook or Twitter, afterthere.com/MikeLuoma, MikeLuoma. And there's a Glow in the Dark Radio Facebook page at facebook.com/glowinthedarkradio. Our music is by Juan Carlos Quatordio. And I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Thank you again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio.